Storytelling pro Evropu.
Storytelling para Europa.
Storytelling for Europe.
Storytelling pre Europu.
Andrea, I understood that my son didn't get sick because of me.
An endocrinologist. It took me about 2 days until I correctly pronounced and understood the meaning of this word. It happened during the examination of my then 12-year-old son in the endocrinology and diabetology clinic. It was spring 2016. I remember that day perfectly. It was Thursday, the weather was already warm, and my son, an athlete football player, came back from his training session very thirsty. He drank about 2 liters of water, showered, and his head and stomach were hurting. He was tired. He ate a lot and soon fell asleep. Every mother knows when something's up with her child. In the morning, I called our doctor. We were asked to bring a sample of his urine. Something didn't seem right to him. We came back on Monday. On Tuesday, she measured his blood levels. Result, 9.8 glycemia. I truly didn't know what was happening. What does that mean? Your son has DM1, type 1 diabetes mellitus. It's diabetes, announced the endocrinologist. I remembered that they had moved the chair closer to me so I could sit. I don't even remember everything they told me. All I remember is that we went straight to the hospital to admit my son. I tried to object at first. Maybe they had made a mistake. My Patrick had never been in a hospital in the past 12 years, but now he had to be admitted. I remember shopping for our first diabetic products with my husband. In the past, I would walk past diabetic products in supermarkets with repugnance. Sometimes I would even think to myself, never in my life do I want to have this disease. My son got it instead. We had no idea what to buy for Patrick, and we would walk around aisles forlorn, crying. Tears have stayed with me to this day, but they are different kinds of tears now, tears of enlightenment and acceptance. Back then, I felt hopelessness and concern. I had minimal information about this type of diabetes. The only thing I knew was that my grandmother had DM2, type 2 diabetes. At first, she was taking medication, later insulin, but I knew very little, almost nothing. Vicissitudes began. Our acquaintances and family members would give us advice about what we should do and how, but maybe they didn't even know if the advice that they were giving was good or not. I started to ask myself, why our son? Why did he get DM1 at 12? Was it because I was too old when I gave birth to him? Maybe my husband was the one who was too old? Did we eat too many sweets? Later came questions concerning our healthcare and legislation. Why isn't our son eligible for financial aid for dietary needs? Many more questions came. It took me over a year until I realized that it was time to think differently and that I won't find the culprit of his sickness. Slowly, I started to cross the bridges that I built for myself, and I accepted my son's diabetes as a gift. I changed it to a mission to help others, even healthy people. Patrick's disease didn't only affect me, but our whole family. We've gone through big changes, and I know that there are many more to come. My daughter and husband also had it hard from the beginning. Katka asked for sweet dishes and drinks more often, arguing that she is healthy. My husband, on the other hand, reminded my son about the health risks that could arise if he does not follow the correct lifestyle. You can surely imagine how some of these situations ended. Patrick took his diagnosis very responsibly. In the beginning, he shared some tips and gave me information that he received in the hospital. The big advantage of DM1 is remission. Remission is the remaining period in which the pancreas still works. Back at the very beginning, I bought tons of books about DM1 and DM2 diabetes. I thoroughly read through a few of them, just skimmed through some, and I kept them for studying in times of need. Over time, I realized that I was missing a different, important book. A book about a mother and her child with stories documenting the first day after diagnosis until the realization of what DM1 means and what it entails. We don't talk about diabetes at home that often anymore. I can even hide my tears from our son, even though I know that he can sense and see that I'm troubled. His adolescence is more arduous, but his sickness is by no means taboo between us. Older people are often surprised at how diabetes can occur in such a young person. Peers don't even acknowledge it, but some of them don't realize that it's a sickness that will stay with them for the rest of their life. It sometimes happens that our family members ask my son, "Do you still have diabetes?" He's often taken aback, wondering if they're joking or if they just really know nothing about his disease. I believe that through this experience, I can show others that our health is in our own hands. Patrick has diabetes, but he is disciplined and can live a fulfilling life. As a mother, I only wish for one thing. I wish that my son didn't have to inject insulin and be dependent on it. That feeling for me as a mother is the worst one there is. I often talk about our story with diabetes. I believe that it's important to share it. My acquaintances often wonder why I post about his night hypoglycemia on social media, but I believe that it's important. Many of us still don't know that much about diabetes. We don't realize that the change in our mood can be caused by glycemia, where big jumps from hypoglycemia to hyperglycemia can be a big burden on our bodies. If we see a person lying in the street, maybe they can be a diabetic with hypoglycemia, whose life can be saved by us at that moment. That's also why I feel it's important to talk about this topic more freely within the public eye.
The Project Storytelling for Europe is funded by the European Union and Erasmus Plus programme.